Allen, Barlow, Biteman, Blackburn, Blake, Bovey, Brown, Burkhart, Bird, Clausen, Clem, Connolly, Court, Crank, Dayton, Edwards, Eklund, Ayer, Flitner, Freeman, Furphy, Grew, Gray, Greer, Haley, Hallinan, Halverson, Henderson, Hunt, Jennings, Kinner, Kirkbride, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lone, Laux, McGuire, Madden, Miller, Nicholas, excused, Northrup, Obermuller, Olson, Paxton, Pelkey, Piperinen, Ponell, Salazar, Schwartz, Simpson, Summers, Steinmetz, Stiff, Sweeney, Walters, Wilson, Winters, excuse, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Burkhart, Hunt, excused, Nicholas, Obermuller, Simpson. We have 57 present, 3 excused.
Thank you. Before we begin our prayer and our Pledge of Allegiance, I want to recognize Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 64th, one of the aspects that was a pretty cool part of being part of a member of the 63rd was Representative Tom Lockhart immediately cornered me upon me joining the 63rd, found out I was a veteran, and made sure that I understood that I was to salute during the Pledge of Allegiance. And he was pretty forceful about it, and I always respected Representative Lockhart for that because kind of reminded me of an old officer. But he made sure that we understood that we have not only the right to do that as veterans of our U.S. military, but he demanded it out of us. So I'm going to pass along that same demand for you members of the 64th that didn't know Representative Lockhart and how forceful he was about it, that we are to salute, and that is congressionally approved during the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Would you please rise? We have Pastor Bob Thompson from First Presbyterian Church to lead us in today's prayer.
Thank you and good morning. From Psalm 107, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Faithful God, we praise you that you have brought us to this new day, brightening our lives with the dawn of promise and hope. We thank you, God, for the warmth of sunlight, for the snow and rain that refreshes the earth, for the beauty of your creation, and for the cool of the night that brings rest. Gracious Lord, the psalmist today reminds us that your steadfast love endures forever. Thank you for loving us, God, and teaching us what it means to love one another. In Scripture, you call us your beloved, and you call us to live in relationship with you. You have also challenged us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Empower us through your Holy Spirit to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and love. God, today we remember the Reverend Billy Graham and the great servant that he was. We pray for his family. Comfort them during this time of grief. We are thankful for the millions of lives that he touched. God, I lift up to you today the work being done in this House of Representatives. You have called each person here for a purpose, and laid on their heart the desire to speak for their community and for the state of Wyoming. As they make decisions for this great state, they face a daunting task to discern how the bills placed before them will impact the future of this state and the families in their communities. I pray that your spirit be with them and give them wisdom and foresight for the overtures that are before them. As they vote, may your spirit guide them in what is best for the people, and may your will be made known. I also pray for the people who are impacted by each decision they make. We pray that this work bring peace, prosperity, and wholeness to our communities. God, I pray for this governing body and for each representative. As they work today, give them energy to face the challenges, creativity to find solutions, and understanding for one another. Guide them by your spirit in everything they do. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Members, we're gonna just pause for 5 minutes. We've had a copier go down, and so your amendment processing is we're running it down to the other end of the building, and so we're waiting on a few second reading amendments. So we're just going to pause, keep enjoying each other's company for about another 5 minutes. Okay, we're at that order of business of journal committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 20th, 2018 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Grew and Representative Gray.
I'd like to have Representative Larson from Great Park County introduce our doctor of the day.
Why, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my honor and privilege to introduce the doctor of the day, Betsy Spomer, and she's from Powell. Welcome.
Thank you for serving as our doctor of the day. We appreciate you being here today, doctor. And okay, reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Speaker.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members of the body, we heard last week from the good Representative Halverson about Girls State. What we have with us today is one of the alumna of Girls State, Sarah Hollis, who is also working on the highest level of Girl Scout achievement, the Gold Award, where she's working on civic engagement with young people. So I'd like you to welcome Sarah Hollis. She'll also be shadowing us today. Woohoo! And her mom, who called herself the driver.
Thank you. Welcome, Representative Clausen.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
In the fishbowl, we have the mayor of Douglas in the back there, Bruce Jones. Please stand up and give him a welcome to the House of Representatives.
Yeah. Okay, any other privileges? We have the nurse of the day today. Where's our nurse? And our nurse is Ann Roggett. Where are you from?
Campbell County.
Oh, Campbell County. Welcome to the House. Thank you. Okay, we're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 61, Roadside Waiver of Property Rights Prohibited, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bightman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Salazar, Stith, and Winters. No, Representative Pownell. Signed, Representative Winters, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 164, Overweight Vehicles, Agriculture Exemption, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Laux, Vice Chairman.
Okay, I'd like to recognize Representative Ayer has the privilege of the floor.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Thank you. It's not often we get folks from the southwest corner of the state coming over to visit, so I'm really happy today to introduce the mayor of the town of Mountain View, Scott Dillinger.
Hey. Mayor, welcome to the House. It's a pleasure to have you here. Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask for a re-referral of two bills to committee number two. That would be House Bill 168 and House Bill 61. 168 and 61.
Without objection, House Bill 168 and 61 have been re-referred to. I'm going to pause. I'm getting word here that maybe just 61 is all we... I want to make sure I get this right.
Mr. Speaker, I have referral slips for both 168 and 61.
Okay, at this time, I will just re-refer and make sure we've read in 168. I don't think we've read that in yet, and so we're going to, at this time, I'll re-refer House Bill 61, Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, you're ready. Okay, we are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 29. Reading clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 29, sponsored by Education, Alternative Social Accountability, an act relating to the Wyoming Accountability in Education Act. And
House Bill 29, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third? Hearing no objection, and so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 78.
Can't find my paper. Sorry. I'm getting there. Hold on. Okay, I can't find the list of... House Bill 78, sponsored by Representative Hunt, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, an act relating to water development projects.
We have an amendment. Chairman Hunt. Okay, members, I have amendments on House Bill 78 and House Bill 110. Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would bring you second reading amendment number one to House Bill 78 and ask for your favorable consideration. Really, this is a technical amendment. We're just deleting number 8 after Romanet 7, so technical correction, all it is. Ask for your aye vote.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number one, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. That has been adopted. House Bill 78, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 109.
House Bill 109, sponsored by Appropriations. Public Employee Retirement Plan Contributions, an act relating to public employees.
House Bill 109, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 110.
House Bill 110, sponsored by Appropriations, Wyoming Retirement Plans Member Accounts, an act relating to retirement plans administered by the Retirement Board of the Wyoming Retirement System.
House Bill 110 has an amendment. Minority Floor Leader Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 110 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, if you remember yesterday, there was a lot of discussion about this bill and honestly quite a few no votes on general file. And so what this amendment is a compromise. Honestly, between what the JAC came up with in terms of modifications to our retirement system, and honestly, the amount of money that an individual who has begun to work for the state in the retirement system can get out once, if they kind of quit their job or move on before they're vested at 4 or 6 years. So all this bill does is drop that number of 4 or 6, depending on which retirement system you're part of, to 1 year. So basically what it says is if you're on probation for that first year and you leave, all you get is the money that you put in. That's it. But if you leave up to that 4 years or 6 years, you don't get the state contribution part. That's what happens with vesting. But you do get the part that the state has put in, if it has, on your side as well. So again, it's a compromise from yesterday, and it drops that number from 4 or 6 years to 1 year, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration. Go away.
Okay. Any further discussion? Chairman Nicholas.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, my hearing is probably slightly different than the good representatives from over the Hill, because I don't think it was a close vote. And not only that, this really kind of guts the bill. I mean, it guts the savings that that we created it for the to save funds for the overall retirement center. So the concept of proposing compromises, but this is not a compromise. Thank you.
Anyone else? Representative Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the previous speaker said, this is not a compromise. And a reminder, vested is vested, not vested is not vested. It's not a graduated thing in Wyoming. You're vested or you're not. And now you've introduced multiple categories into the retirement system with this amendment. How many do you want? What about, you know, instead of 1 year, we make it 400 days? This just confuses the whole issue, and I'm on it, against it, and ask for your no vote.
Representative Lindholm.
Got me unawares, Mr. Speaker. Sorry about that. Yeah, just on and for the amendment. We're trying to dial this back. Okay, so individuals think that that maybe it's not enough of a compromise, but reality is in this situation that these are employee contributions. Do we want the folks that will stick around for Wyoming because we are a good outfit to work for, or do we want individuals just here because they have to be here? That's the type of employees. Thank you, Chairman.
Any other member for their first time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment and for the bill, members, again, any employer out there, and if you're in any kind of supervisory role where you're hiring people, you want to hire right, you want to train them so that you can retain them. And this vested language that we have in the bill is a retention tool. It's asking employees, it's putting it out there that, hey, if you want retirement, you've got to invest in this company, or in this instance, you've got to invest in this state employment. We want you to hang around. We don't want you going here, there, and yonder. We want a little bit of stability from you as far as your employment is concerned. And this completely removes that retention tool. So I would ask you to oppose this amendment and vote for the bill. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I want to bring it back to who we're really talking about right now is the teachers of this state. You think the state retirement fund, you're thinking state employees, but by and large, what we're talking about here are the teachers who start out. They're going to hopefully, if we actually can hire any teachers in the state next summer with our budget, anybody who gets hired after that July 1st, they're on the hook for 4 years. And I'll tell you, all the studies show that teacher burnout is at an all-time high. 45% of new teachers don't make it more than 4 years, no matter what state you're in. So these are the people that we're asking to come teach in a difficult environment where we're cutting funding, where it's very uncertain. And now you're saying, hey, you might not even get, you know, I won't call it the vestiture, but I'll call it a benefit of your hiring that you would look forward to getting, that you would get now, that anybody who got hired last year gets. And we're making a pretty big change in 1 year, and yeah, they're going to be notified, but still, that's really the population, and that's where a lot of these funds come back to the retirement system, aren't from state employees. They're from all the teachers in all of your districts around the state who try to be a good teacher for a couple of years, and with all the requirements on them, burnout's at an all-time high, and this is the population we're talking about. So I want to bring it back to that.
Representative Pownell.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm on and against this amendment also. Bear in mind, remember, this is for folks that are going to start working here in the future. This is not the current employees. So the people that sign on to work for the state or work for the different government entities, they know what they're getting into. They know what they expect to receive on this. So this doesn't affect any people that are already there. So vote no on the amendment. Thank you.
the other member for their first time? Seeing none, we're going to move to second time before the sponsor. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want you to remember, too, besides our state employees, the teachers, there are also county employees in this, city employees in this, and approximately 400 different employing agencies throughout the state. And the choice here is we're trying to control the costs, shore up the retirement system, and this is worth somewhere between a quarter and 1% in or 1.5% in contributions. So if we do this, we don't have to pay that quarter or 1.5%, which we may have to go back in and add in later. We're trying to keep the retirement system under control. And yes, retirement keeps employees. But would you pay an employee to leave on their own? That's the choice you make here. You say, hey, if you leave before 4 years, we're going to give you a lot of money. Why? Pay them to leave? And an awful lot of our teachers, believe me, work till they get vested in retirement and then do leave. This just keeps them here. Hopefully, once they're here 4 years, they'll like it and stay. So on and against the amendment.
Any other members for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman's Wanster.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. And I want to talk about the generation shift because it's a new world if you're a millennial or a Gen Xer, right? I just looked. The average person changes four jobs by the time you're age 32. The average person now changes jobs 12 times in their 26-year working career. It's a new age out there. And, yeah, maybe we should try to keep people here. And I remember I hit my four-year mark as a state employee, and I got vested, and I got out. And that last year and a half was really tough because actually I was working for this branch and the other branch, and it wasn't working. And I'm just telling you, if you want happy employees, you give them their benefits, and that's what we're doing now. And we're trying to recruit young people to the state. We're trying to recruit talent. And you start saying, well, if you want any type of government job or any of those type of industries, be a little leery about coming to work for us. Because a lot of people younger than me, they don't know what their life's going to be like in 3 or 4 years. I mean, it's a tough commitment to make. For 4 years, you're going to be at the same job, and you're going to make a commitment. And I know that's great if you can, but a lot of people in their 20s, circumstances change rapidly. Kids, marriages, divorces, all sorts of stuff. And so I just ask you to remember those people. We already have a whole generation of kids coming out with student loan debt. Hopefully not in this state, but in other states, it's overwhelming and astronomical. And this is just one more kind of chip at the next generation that we're giving all these great things to people who are the baby boomers, and we're still hitting the next gen. So remember.
Okay, anyone else? Second time. Moving to the sponsor, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you all for the good comments. So let's be clear about what this bill does. This bill, with the amendment or without the amendment, is a decrease in employee benefits for those hired after 2018. That's what this bill does. What the amendment does is it decreases that hit a little bit, right? This bill negatively impacts those hired after July 1st of 2018 for either 4 or 6 years. What the amendment does is drops that hit to 1 year. It is a compromise. And I disagree with that notion that we're paying people to leave. That's not what we're doing at all. This was an earned benefit. We're not paying people to leave. This was part of compensation. And so I'd urge you to vote in favor of the amendment. Our retirement system is solvent, right? This adds extra money to our already solvent retirement system and says to workers when they come in, you are valued, and we value you through your compensation and your benefits. So on and in favor of the amendment.
Okay, the question before us on second reading amendment number one. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
That amendment has been defeated. House Bill 110, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Members, we're still waiting on another, on a packet. The first, I would just, as you look at your budget amendments, the budget amendments on my desk are in numerical order. And you might check yours now. I'm hearing that. But just know that we do not take them up in numerical order, right? And there should be a list. We go in the order of the budget, page by page, section by section. So on my list that I have, it should be amendment number 50. Okay, and so you should have a list that looks like this. I'm not sure amendment number 50, our first budget amendment, has been circulated yet. So we're going to pause until the sound of the gavel. And if you want to, you can do it. Everybody's a little different how you organize. If you want to pre-organize your amendments according to this order, or you just sift through and grab them as they come, whatever works for your organizational style, but know that we're going down this list. And keep in mind, according to our rules, any budget amendment that increases expenditure will require roll call votes if they pass a successful voice vote. Okay? So we'll pause for a few moments till that's distributed. Okay, members, a little more information now. We're waiting on that amendment 50, and I believe it is. If you'll go to the back of your stack of your distribution of amendments, it start with amendment number 45, and 45 through 61 will have to be inserted into the right order. The rest of these, 1, 2, 3, and so on, they're in order. The staff has ordered them, numbered them according to the order they'll come in the budget, except for beginning with amendment number 45 through 61. And so you can see on your list it's 50, and then it goes to 1, and then 51, 53, 55, and then we go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And so I hope I'm explaining that. So you know, amendments that are 45 through 61 are not in order. So use the list to put those in order. The rest of them, staff had time last night to number the amendment in the order that it is coming before us. So we're going to pause for a few minutes waiting on those distributions. Members, you'll see quite a few corrected copies, too. And so when you have, like, this new packet that's being distributed, the first one on top says amendment number 40, corrected copy. So you find your original number 40 and just throw it in the trash. And we work, of course, off the corrected copy. And occasionally you'll find a corrected copy. And so keep the most recent copy. We're still living a little copier problem, so bear with us. Okay, members, I think everything has been distributed. So, sound of the gavel, we're back in action, and we will proceed now with second reading amendments on House Bill 1. It's normal second reading procedures. Members can speak up to two times, no exclusion of a member as you begin your second time, no exclusion of a member until everyone's had a chance to speak their first time. The House has no time limits. There are no time limits when you're speaking, but you get two opportunities to speak. We generally reserve the very final time for the sponsor of the amendment. Okay, with that, members, we are on amendment number 50 to House Bill 1. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 50 to House Bill 1 and ask for favorable consideration. Looking forward to really starting out strong today. It's a pleasure to bring the first amendment on the budget bill. What this amendment does, it comes out of an analysis that LSO did, and it was sent out to everybody in their mailboxes in December by our colleague from House District 4. And what it was an analysis comparing the 2001 to 02 biennium to the current biennium. And you look at the increase in FTE by agency, by section. The number one section in increase was the governor's office, 22 FTE increase comparing the 2001 to 2002 biennium to now. That is over a doubling. 39 full-time positions, increase of 20, says over a doubling. So I think it's time for this office to be right-sized. And the thing about a gubernatorial transition is it's a perfect time to do it. It just becomes a seamless part of a transition. People are moving in and out anyway as part of the change in administrations. It's not personal. This is about right-sizing an office. It's not about anybody individually. And let's let our incoming governor get off to a really strong start, and as part of the transition, reduce the office by three FTE. It's been increased 22, over a doubling since the 01-02 biennium. So with that, thank you very much.
Hey, any other members would like to speak for their first time? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of this amendment, we have in our notes that the 40 FTEs is down from 42. But as the good representative just mentioned, it is doubled from years ago. Please support this amendment.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, that may be dating back 20 years, but certainly we've had a lot of changes that they have had to deal with in response to the federal administration. And I will point out, since the beginning of this particular administration, the 2007 to 2008 budget, the office of the governor has decreased by 24%. So they are this particular administration in the state has reduced significantly from 55 to 42, and of course we continue to deal with holdovers in the federal administration that they have to spend a lot of time on. So I am opposed to this amendment.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against, ladies and gentlemen, as previously mentioned, 55 down to 42. And it would seem to me that if you want to to reduce the governor's staff, you should go over, meet his staff, find out what they're doing, find out what responsibilities they have, and come back and discuss what positions ought to be removed versus just kind of a slash and burn antic about it. There may be positions that could be consolidated or removed, but how do we know that? This is just kind of a blind cut in the dark on a percentage based upon data which was skewed because they took a one particular time and date in order to maximize that compared to another time and date. So you have to look at this agency over the whole to fully comprehend where and how and why we got to where we are today.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against, I would argue that when you have a new chief executive That's the wrong, exactly the wrong time to cut people. This isn't about numbers. This is about people and processes and having those functions that need to happen in government occur properly. So I would resist this amendment and vote no.
Any other members? Mr. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against the amendment. You know, as we asked this governor and more governors and the next governor to be more and more active in, for example, federal issues, and our governor has taken on more and more of a role of really promoting Wyoming and fighting the good fight, as it needs to be at times with the federal government, I just do not see that it is time to reduce that staff.
Any other members? Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, as the bringer of the bill said, this is exactly the perfect time to make these cuts, because when you have a new staff and you have a new employee, they're always excited to work harder and do more. And so this is a chance to take away any entrenchment and make sure that people are working to their fullest potential. So I'd be very much in support of this.
Thank you, Representative Lone. Are there any other, Mr. Majority Floor Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I'm going to support this amendment. You know, I was here during the early 2000s when we had a lot leaner governor's office, and, you know, it worked fine. We had some tremendous revenue years prior to the current governor, and that's when the big growth occurred. Now that we don't have those revenues rolling in, you know, I do appreciate what our executive office is doing on the federal issues. I do want to support him 100% in that. This doesn't affect the current governor. It's going to affect the new governor coming in. And, you know, if we cut it too much, we can always come back next year and add some people to it. You know, they're only going to – they're coming in at the same time we come in next year. You know, so we could – if they think they need someone, come and tell us. We'll talk about it then. But right now, this is a prudent measure in our current financial light.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would say this is a very good amendment to the bill. It isn't a slash and burn. It's only three people. And with a structural deficit of almost $1 billion, everybody's going to have to kick in to help bring this down to where we can get a handle on it. And I think this is a good place to start. Thank you.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, we're going to see throughout the day today amendments that are going to try and bring some control to our spending. And some of these amendments are going to be substantial amounts of money, others not so. But it is an attempt. I know that when I talk to my constituents in my area, that's what they want to see. On in support of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, one of the things that we need to keep in mind is when we cut some of those positions in the past, they were vacant positions. They didn't actually have bodies in them. There were only three positions that had bodies in them, and that was our good brand office and our brand inspectors. So that's how that worked. Also, talking about skewed numbers, I would push back on that just a little bit. Those numbers were derived by looking at a revenue stream being about the same as it is now at the in our state, and what the size of government looked like when that was the case. And so it was meant to be a snapshot for all of your information so that you could just see the last time what things looked like. So I hope it helped all of you, and vote aye on this amendment.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I think there's always more to the story. It's never, and I think, first of all, I think these members are members who have sat on appropriations now for the last month and who have heard, and you get an understanding of the story and the history. I think when you take a snapshot like was sent to us in December of 2001, I think you can pick the year. I mean, pick the biennium. And so if you pick 2001 and you say the governor's office had 16 employees then, and now they've had as many as 52. But how did that happen? I mean, what is that? Well, 9/11 happened. There was no state homeland security. This employee count that you're talking about, that there's 40 there today, 20 of them are homeland security. They did not exist at the time that we're referencing some growth. Okay, so if we compare apples to apples, you take homeland security out of the governor's office count. Okay, we had 16 real people working in the governor's office in 2001 compared to today's 20. So what's changed then? Why four more since 2001? And so let's think about the things we've asked the chief executive to do. And you all know them, and particularly with our natural resources and what we're trying to do to make sure that 66% of our mineral rights are accessible to provide tax revenue for our state. And so I think, you know, when you see that big number, you think, wow, that's tremendous. Well, keep in mind, most of that number is Homeland Security, what happened on 9/11. So on and against the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? One moment. Okay. Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, I appreciate the good speaker mentioning Homeland Security. I realize that's not where they're trying to cut. But in this day and age of all the federal issues that are being presented, that takes management skills. And you just don't pluck somebody, you know, off the unemployment line for some of these positions. So I ask you to vote no on the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and for the amendment, members, we've seen even over the last year that that there is there's no will on the part of our chief executive to reduce any kind of staffing, whether that's vacant positions or otherwise. Instead, we're looking at cutting services and things like that. And if there's going to be any kind of reductions at all, it's going to have to be through this body. And so this is kind of one of those gut check moments. You know, do we have the political will to actually do these reductions or not? We've seen those efficiency studies. We know that we have more supervisors per employees than the private sector does. There's a lot that we could do if we have the political will to do it. And so I would ask you to vote aye on this amendment.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks,
Mr. Speaker. Just for some historical reference about this year, what that administration did, because I came in administration right after, they didn't have employees in the governor's office, per se, that counted for the governor's office. They would have other state employees from other agencies around government come spend a year as a special assistant or special appointee or research person, and they were actually taking other state employees, and in some cases they were just contracting people out through a different budget fund, to not actually raise this number of the actual number of state employees. And so if there's any year you really shouldn't look at it, it's that last 2 years of that administration, because they were doing lots of interesting things. When the next administration came in, you know, we actually added a whole lot of state employees to make them state employees, because they were actually all being paid as AWACS, as contractual people, because we were playing this game between the executive and the legislative branch about how many state employees there really were, and so we just had lots of employees on contract. So you'll see as you look at some of these studies that in the next administration that came in, we got a lot more state employees. They're all a lot of the same people. They were just actually treated as what they really were, which was full-time state employees, and we weren't paying them more to be contractual. So that's the background information on the historical accuracy of what was happening in that year. I hope that helps guide your decision. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and against the amendment. Speaking for the staff in the governor's office, and something we should be cognizant, because we just got into this, that we're here for a limited amount of time. We don't have hands-on, eyes-on, and how this functions. Fortunately, I happen to live in this district, and I have a lot more interaction with these people than the rest of you in this room. I don't see any fat inside the governor's office. In fact, I see a staff that is pretty much compacted, as tight as they can be compacted. So that being where we're at, consider this as we go through the budget. It's very easy to come through here and take a quick bite out of some agency or some part of our government apparatus so you can go home and have some good some feel-good talking points, but you consider what damage you're going to do to the effectiveness of that staff. And right now, this particular amendment would damage the governor's effectiveness to do what we need to be done. Keep in mind, we come back next year. Sure, wait till next year to have it fixed. You know, we keep telling everybody why we are in the top five in certain categories in business and everything, but the reality is the execution of that is in the bottom five. So you should ask yourself, why are we there? If we keep cutting like this, we'll stay there.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I heard a couple of comments imply that the executive branch just doesn't have the will to go in and to make cuts. And I would just like to remind some comparisons when we hit the 2016 drop in revenue. It was the executive branch that come in and cut $240 million in all of the state agencies. He'd done that ahead of when we met. We come in and then I would remind you that then we had those governor's recs last year. And I think as we was having this same discussion, I heard four or five different most vulnerable populations that we couldn't cut. And we put back in governor's cuts back into those budgets because we were hurting the most vulnerable of this population, most vulnerable of other populations. So I think that we need to be careful in insinuating that the executive branch has not been willing and doesn't have the will to make cuts. They've made far more cuts. We ratified them and we've agreed with them. But he come in and made $240 million worth of cuts. We come in and followed up with another $80 million. But I think to imply that I'm against this amendment, I think he's come in and I think he's cut overall fairly substantially, far more actually than what we have.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, on and in support of this amendment. And I'm so glad it's the first one up because it's time for this conversation to happen. There are two world-renowned economists, which I can't name, but one of them has a curve named after him, who have studied state governments for 10 years. And one of their measures is the number of public employees per 10,000 of population. For 10 years, our state has ranked last, 50th. In other words, we have the highest number of public employees per 10,000 of population for 10 years straight. I think the 10th year was just last year, and it was, I believe, 760 public employees per 10,000 of population. That 700 would have to drop by 130 to get us into 49th place. We have the highest amount of highest state government employees in the country, and we've had it for 10 years straight. Right at the top of our government is where the example needs to be set. We need to cut some fat. I don't mean to say that. I mean, we need to cut some somewhere. And starting at the top is a good place to do it, and I urge your support for this amendment.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You know, as someone who sits on the CERC, the State Emergency Response Commission, that is overseen by the Wyoming Department of Homeland Security, I would definitely not want to see those positions cut. Maybe the bringer of the amendment could address Homeland Security on these positions.
Anyone else for their second time? Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, thank you. And those were some good statistics on how we rank, but I think what that directly couples to is the fact that we have the lowest population of any state in the union. And so you have programs out there that have to supply dollars to a very small population across a very large state. You know, I once looked up on the map, and that one little small state that starts with an M back east fits right inside the county where the green runs through that the gentleman in front of me live in. So if you think about that, there's states out there that it could exist right inside of one of our counties. It's much easier to provide services in that kind of regional area than it is in our area to our small population. On and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I've had a couple of reliable sources and some great wisdom that's pointed out. We heard some stats about the number of employees per population, but I've been assured that that's not just state employees, that's federal and local employees in there as well.
Anyone else for the second time? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I'd add to that, too, and it's been that way for over 70 years, since the 1950s. So 25% of the jobs in this state are government jobs. Has been since the 1950s. Either local, county, federal, state, of all the jobs in this state, it has stayed consistently at 25%, 24.8, 25.1, since the 1950s, really the last 70 years. And you know, you have these, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, but why is that? I don't know. You know, I mean, we're a radically rural state. Got 23 sheriffs. You know, we got 350 schools scattered around the state. Got county governments. We got jails in all counties. So there's a lot of reasons. I mean, there's an efficiency thing. I remember a neighboring governor, a neighboring state, they wanted to take all their 80 counties down to 5 to gain efficiency. I mean, there's probably ways, if you were thinking, to do that. But I don't know. I just that's part of where we've been. And I don't know that the 64th is going to somehow, I don't know. I don't know how that, I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing. That's just the way we've run business in a very large state with very few people. And so I think we continue the conversation, though. And so I thank the member for bringing the amendment. It's good to have these conversations. That's what the appropriations branch, that's what the legislature does. And so I appreciate him bringing the amendment. I'm not going to vote for it, but thank you.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, we have a PhD economist here in our state who's looked at this issue of small state, small population, big government argument, and has completely debunked it. It makes sense that because we're a small state, we only need a small government. We don't need to keep as many positions as we have. Thank you.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look at the size of the state and the ruralness of the state, by all accounts, the one that's furthest north and off by itself should be way outranking us to be number one in government employees, because it isn't a whole lot bigger in number, and it's way bigger in size. On and for the amendment.
Any other members or second time? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, just a reminder, members of the 64th, this has, you know, in my opinion, has really nothing to do with our current governor. He's actually reduced the number of employees in his office. And so I applaud him for that. He's doing some great things, pushing back on the guys back east that own 70% of the mineral rights in Wyoming. That's a big problem for us. But, you know, we've got a 800 plus or minus a few nickels here and there shortfall over the next biennium. And frankly, I think it starts here. What better place to start looking at ways to save? You know, this is frankly a tiny bit. You know, we've got a lot bigger issues than this. But again, this sets the mood and shows that this body's willing to make the hard decisions. And again, I'm going to vote aye on the bill. I think it's the right thing to do when we have such a huge shortfall right now.
Any other members for the second time? Second time before the sponsor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First things first, I am going to ask for a roll call on this because I think it's important that we get on the record on this. Addressing some of the issues, first on the Homeland Security front. So the way we wrote the amendment, you'll see the reduction in the administration on line 4. So it's not in the Homeland Security section. So it's going to come out of the other areas of the governor's budget. So it doesn't touch Homeland Security. That argument does not apply. So this office has had over a doubling since the 01-02 biennium. And what you're going to see, too, I thought it was interesting to hear that argument about, well, we should go over and identify the positions. Well, at times I've seen amendments that have identified those positions, and then the argument is that we're micromanaging. So you can't have it both ways. And so we'll see as we progress here what the arguments are. But let's put this in the new governor's role to say, look, this is a transition. This isn't personal. This isn't about the last governor. We're going to reduce three positions. I appreciated the comments from the representative from House District 43, where he talked about what governors used to do. Well, that came out of the efficiency report. The connotation from the discussion was negative, but the efficiency say there's got to be cross-agency collaboration. So what previous governors were doing and calling other agencies and having other agencies handle what's now being done in-house, that's what the efficiency report was talking about, having that communication, that collaboration, not having one agency sitting there, not knowing what the governor's office is doing and having these extra employees that have built up over time do those jobs. So I just think this is really basic. Let's start off strong here. We got a roll call vote. Reduction of three positions, nothing's personal. It's with the transition. And I think this next governor is going to be very excited to do this because it's going to get them off to a great start, and we can do that here with this budget amendment. So please vote aye on budget amendment 50.
Okay, and we've had Representative Gray, you've called for the ayes and the noes. I just need one other member to second that. Okay, it's been seconded. Chief Clerk. I had.
The amendment, House Bill 50, or Amendment 50. Allen. No. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. No. Bovee. No. Brown. No. Burkhart. No. Byrd. No. Clausen. No. Clem. Aye. Connolly. No. Court. Aye. Crank. No. Dayton. No. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. No. Ayer. No. Flitner. No. Freeman. No. Furphy. No. Grew. No. Gray. Aye. Greer. No. Haley. No. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. No. Hunt. No. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. No. Kirkbride. No. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. Aye. Laux. Aye. McGuire. No. Madden. No. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Obermuller. No. Olson. No. Paxton. No. Pelkey. No. Piperinen. Aye. Aye. Ponell. No. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. No. Simpson. Aye. Summers. No. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith. Aye. Sweeney. No. Walters. No. Wilson. No. Winters. Aye. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 22 aye, 38 no.
Okay, having failed to receive an affirmative vote of the elected members, House or Amendment number 50 has failed. We are now on second reading amendment. Excuse me, we're going to pause. We have some kids here, and we want to introduce them to the House. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to welcome the Linglefort Laramie Elementary School 4th grade and Mr. Arnish's class. Thank you for being here. Welcome to the House.
Well, welcome to the House. Great to have you here. Do we have any more privilege of the floor? Any more privileges? Okay. Thank you, kids, and welcome. Welcome to the Wyoming House of Representatives. We're glad you're here today. Okay, we're on second reading amendment number one, Representative Loan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number one to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, we heard that the institution over the hill, when they got their new president, that they did an efficiency study and found that there were vehicles being used for personal gain versus the purposes of that university. And I thought, what an opportunity we have here to do something similar. So this amendment just asks that each agency within the state account for all of their vehicles and report to us where they are, what they're being used for, who's using them, and provide us that information to ensure that the items of the government are being utilized properly. And so with that, I stand for question and ask for your support.
Would any member like to speak on this amendment? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of this amendment, we've all heard the stories that come out so often that we get a chuckle out of them about the federal government not being able to do an inventory of its assets, of its equipment. Now, surely a small state like Wyoming should be able to account for its vehicle fleet. This should be easy to do. And I support the amendment and urge your aye vote.
Any other members? Chairman Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Really, I don't feel too strongly about this, and primarily because during JAC, we learned that this is already being done, particularly with the tracking mechanisms that now are in all those vehicles. If you could walk down to either any of these departments or go to A&I, and they can tell you where every car is, how fast it's going, where it's parked, where it's allotted, and they've modified how agencies pay for their vehicles from our general fund so that there's an increased charge based upon mileage use versus just having the vehicles. And it's really kind of an interesting thing, but it's a work in progress. So as we had these discussions with them over the last 2 months, this is almost the same directive that we kind of went at it. But we didn't just ask for a report. We said that you're going to provide this information to us, and we're going to start reducing the fleets. And they've already started to reduce the fleets. And I think some folks have some of those numbers. But, this is all taking place, and it's a concept is good.
Representative Edwards.
On and for the amendment, and I'm glad they are starting to do that. I think that government always has to look at its efficiencies and figure out ways to make the money that the taxpayer gives to last as long as it can. So I'm on and for the amendment.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The good chairman of appropriations mentioned some numbers in that, and I'll give you those numbers. They've reduced the fleet by 33 vehicles. They've repurposed an additional 15. They've realized a one-time savings of $1.15 million and a reduction of almost $200,000 recurring annual operating costs. And they've improved driving behavior. They've had almost a 4-to-1 reduction in speeding incidents. Yeah, state employee speed, I know. So, plus reduced fuel costs and that sort of thing. Additionally, they're already doing all of this. And just having a study and a report, that's a study and a report. So on and against the amendment.
Any other members for the first time? Any for their second time? Would the sponsor like one more time? Second time, Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hey, the chairman of JEC is on board with this. I think it's a great one to pass. Thank you.
Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
That amendment has, I'm not sure. Why don't you stand, those? Boy, we have a roll call and outstanding division. Both my bad ears. Please stand if you're in favor of this amendment. All those opposed, please stand. The amendment has failed. Next amendment for consideration is amendment number 51, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 51 to House Bill 1. Another chance here for us to get off to a really strong start. Looking forward to it. What this does is it gets us, this is basically an amendment that I brought in the supplemental budget, which is a 5% reduction in the central motor vehicle pool. Now, that's very important. All these different agencies have their own pools. There's a central motor vehicle pool down here in the state capitol. And oftentimes, agencies will borrow from that central motor vehicle pool. So this is on top of the state agency pool. This is a 5% reduction, and what it says is once that reduction happens, they can't go up more than a percent. Okay, so it gives them a little room to increase a little bit, but it just controls our vehicle pool. We see this all the time. I was just looking on Twitter. There was a governor from another state that just announced a reduction of, I think it was 10%. I mean, this is just really, really good governance. Let's right-size our central motor vehicle pool. So let's vote aye on amendment number 51.
Any other members? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm an opposed to the amendment. I think unless we reduce also the work that we're requiring the employees to do, it doesn't make that much sense to take away the vehicles that they're using. Should we reduce dam inspections of hazardous dams by 5%? Maybe we should reduce picking up abandoned children by 5%. We could pick up 5% fewer children. A couple of weeks ago, I had dinner with a constituent friend of mine whose kids were former students of mine, and the daughter now works for one of the state agencies, and she had to drive from this city to the city of the Jackalopes to pick up two children who had been abandoned by their mother in a hotel room while the mother was doing meth. She drove up in a vehicle, and actually it was snowing. And, of course, from the mom's perspective, this was all bad things. But, I'm sure it was a wonderful adventure for my former student. But she brought these kids back down. Now, I just have to say, living in a city where there are a lot of these state employees, I can be pretty sure that these state employees are not missing their soccer games and missing their anniversary to just spend the night in a one-star hotel because they're just gallivanting around the state for fun. So if we, this was brought up last session, and frankly I said the same thing last session, which is if you want to reduce the motor vehicles but still require the people to do all this work, then what we're asking them to do is drive their own vehicle and be reimbursed. And my understanding is to reimburse them at the mileage rates costs more than to have a state vehicle. That's why we have the state vehicles. So unless we can show that this won't actually end up costing more money for something that sounds good, I don't think we should vote for it. So please vote no.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against the amendment. It doesn't seem to make much sense to cut the fleet by 5%, so you get rid of a $15,000 vehicle. Then you're going to bring back vehicles because you need those vehicles, and you're going to end up paying $60,000 for them later. So it just doesn't seem to me that you're going to save money, and we do. We have X amount of work to get done in the state of Wyoming, and I just think this doesn't make sense. On and against the amendment.
Representative Clamp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. And again, I guess I just have to chuckle a little bit because we're talking about the central motor vehicle pool. We're not talking about assigned vehicles. And the story that was mentioned a couple of speakers ago, you know, our good Department of Family Services going and doing their good work, they're assigned vehicles. We're not talking about assigned vehicles. We're talking about a central vehicle pool. I can just tell you, even my own place of employment, we're assigned a vehicle. Each of our programs are. And then we have a central vehicle pool. You know, one of the things we did in my neck of the woods, because, again, the economy isn't doing so great. It's flatline kind of. But that was one of the areas where we looked for efficiencies. We reduced our central pool. This is an easy thing to do, and it is not going to inhibit the work that our good state does. So on and in support.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No one wants to reduce the dam inspections or the rescuing of children, but I would urge everybody that's in town over the next few weeks to drive by the motor pool. The parking lot is full of cars that are not being used. And if anyone who wants to vote against this amendment, I would ask them to give me an example of a day or a circumstance where that lot was emptied because every single car was checked out for very good purposes. But I don't think I'm going to be getting that information. So on and in support of this amendment.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I can only speak for myself. For someone who has consistently voted against any tax increases, it's, you know, incumbent upon me to look for places where we can save some money. None of these cuts are easy. You know, if they were easy, we would all agree with it. So on in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. More information for the body. So in the old days, 4 or 5 years ago, you know, we actually used to do auctions and sell all these cars once a year, and you'd have to decide, MBMS would say, hey, is this the year to sell this car after 5 or 6 years? Does it hit 100,000 miles or not? And they'd make that decision. Now what they do is actually online auctions. So they, at the pinnacle of this car, when they think, hey, we've got all of it, out of it we can, and it's still worth something to the public, they can put it online and sell it in 3 or 4 weeks at any given time. So I would submit to you, they're doing their jobs, and I haven't been a state employee lately, but I'll tell you, when I was, there were lots of times when I wanted a certain car, because it's not just, they don't all have 80 of the same vehicle. You know, sometimes the state employee, you just need a car to get you 9 hours across the state, interstate miles, you get one of those good gas mileage things. Sometimes, for what our state employees do, they have to go drive out into the boonies a little bit. They need a four-wheel drive vehicle, they need something that'll clear some timber on the ground, those type of things. And there were many times that I needed a certain type of vehicle that I couldn't get or had to wait or put in a request 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time to get the right kind of car. And so keep that in mind. You know, they, I guess when I was there, they had somewhere between 90 and 110 vehicles. And there were lots of times you had to reserve these things 3 weeks in advance, because if you knew, as soon as you knew you were traveling, you had to go book one, especially if you wanted a certain kind of vehicle that could go more than just the interstate. So I think they're doing a really good job. Selling it just for the sake of selling it, I don't think does anything for us. I think they're selling them at the right time where we get some money back to the state out of these things, and it's really beneficial, the new process they're doing, especially with an online auction to the highest bidder. I think it's doing better than it's done in the 20 years I've been around here, so I would ask you to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, if you would read in line 7, it says, shall sell 5% of these assets. The agency is already working to reduce the size of this fleet and look for those efficiencies. By going out and just randomly selling 5% doesn't do anything. It doesn't save the agency money, because then the agency may have to replace some of that. As it says in line 18, they can replace 1% of the fleet. So now we've required them to sell 5% at a loss, or haven't allowed the agency to fully depreciate and get all the utilization out of these vehicles, and then we'll let them go buy brand new ones to make up for it. Let's let the agency continue to work at creating these efficiencies. They've already started to create these efficiencies. These efficiencies will continue to snowball themselves and look wonderful in another year or two. But rather than directing them to sell 5% right now, does not accomplish that. So let's defeat this amendment and let the process work.
Okay, any other members for their second time, or first time, I should say. We're still on first time. Any members would like to speak on this amendment? Seeing none, we will move to second time. Representative Edwards.
This is my first time.
Oh, my apologies. I see that on my list. For your first time, Representative Edwards.
All right. As far as the directive in there, it doesn't tell them which vehicles they have to sell, and hopefully they have the common sense, and I believe they do, to sell those that are ready to be sold. And there are vehicles that are nothing but lemons, and there's a time to get rid of them, and those lemons are the best time is to get rid of them before they cost you a fortune, and I'm sure they know which ones they are. So we're not taking any of the rights of the people that take care of the fleet to decide which are the ones they need to get rid of. They just don't have to replace them. Thank you. On and for the amendment.
Any other members for their first time? Seeing none. Okay. Representative Blackburn.
Mr. Speaker, I reserve first for a second.
Okay. Any other members first time? Okay. Seeing none. We're now going to move to second time. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just want to gently push back a little bit. We're not randomly going to go out in the motor pool and decide, oh, we're going to sell this one, and this one. If that's the case, then we've got bigger problems. So I'm sure our good people who are in charge of that are competent enough to look at the condition, or look at the conditions of those vehicles and sell the ones that are in worse condition. So on and for the amendment.
Okay, any other members for their second time before the sponsor? Second time? Seeing none. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple things here. First, again, you drive by the Central Motor Vehicle Pool. These vehicles are just sitting here. There's a lot of room. Also, responding to some of these arguments, we get this argument about reimbursements, that if the vehicle's not there, then it's going to come out of the reimbursement budget. Well, there's a natural control, which is that the reimbursement budget is limited in those departments. So they're going to naturally have a incentive to control that. And the reality is that with this built-in padding that's there, that's part of what happens in government, there is room for us to reduce this, and there's not going to be any effect on agency budgets. I want to respond here to another comment. You know, and I know appropriations is defending their budget, but the way the amendment was described is not what it does. It says that 5% can be sold, and then they can purchase again up to a percent. It doesn't mandate they purchase up to a percent. They can. It's an option. Okay, so they have that discretion. We're not supposed to, you know, a lot of people say micromanaging is not a good way to go. Well, it's an option. So they can do that. So the amendment doesn't do what the way it was doesn't do what was characterized earlier. The other thing I want to say is that this argument about the workload of state government, this isn't about the workload, this isn't personal, and if every time we try to bring a common sense reduction padding that's there, it's going to become some sort of personal attack, we're not going to get anywhere. And so I really encourage you to support this amendment. We heard that they're already doing this. We hear that a lot. Well, if they're already doing this, then let's make sure they're doing it. Let's put this into the budget. So this is a pretty common sense basic budget amendment. They're already if they're already doing it, then they'll continue doing it. If they're not, then they're going to do it right because this padding's there. I would also ask for a roll call vote on amendment number 51 and would encourage an aye vote.
Okay, do I have a second on the roll call? Seconded by Representative Edwards. Chief Clerk, please call the roll on amendment number 51.
Amendment 51. Allen. No. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. No. Brown. No. Burkhart. No. Bird. Aye. Clausen. No. Clem. Aye. Connolly. No. Court. Aye. Crank. No. Dayton. No. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. No. Ayer. No. Flitner. No. Freeman. No. Furphy. No. Giroux. No. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. No. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. No. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. No. Kirkbride. No. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. Aye. Laux. Aye. McGuire. No. Madden. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Obermuller. No. Olson. Aye. Paxton. No. Pelkey. No. Pieperinen. Aye. Ponell. No. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. No. Simpson. No. Summers. No. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith. No. Sweeney. No. Walters. No. Wilson. Wilson? No. Winters. Aye. Zawanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Allen? No to aye. Bird. Aye to no. Giroux. Aye. Or no to aye. Connolly. No to aye. Madden. Did you? Madden. Aye to no. Bovee. No to aye. Pelkey. No to aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 28 aye, 32 no.
Having failed to receive a majority of elected members, amendment number 51 has failed. The next amendment for our...
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, just a little friendly reminder. I think we have about 58 amendments left. We're taking between 15 and 20 minutes each. Do you want me to order the pizza now for dinner and maybe breakfast? Okay, maybe we'll do breakfast too at this rate. So just keep that in mind. I don't want to limit the debate, but, you know, if you kind of are sensing how something's going and it's going your way, maybe you need to, think about whether you want to be here 12 hours from now.
I would, members, we already have dinner being ordered. It's already ordered this morning. We knew we were going to be here a long time tonight. So rest assured, we're taken care of with that. Okay, looks like we have a couple I'll go with Representative Stith and then Representative Blake. Representative Stith.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
We have in the fishbowl from the city where the water springs from the rock, as well as from the city where the river is green, Ryan Rust, the director of the Young at Heart Senior Center in Rock Springs, and Sheila Schermetzler, director of the Young at Heart the Senior Center in Green River.
Well, welcome to the house. We appreciate you being here today. Oh, that Representative Blake, that was part of his privilege today. So, great. Thank you for being here. Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I also want to introduce you to someone in the fishbowl, Ms. Dawn Marie Thacker from the Shoshone Senior Center. She's here for the AARP dinner tonight. And if you'd welcome her to the house.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've got a couple city councilmen from Sundance, where the kid got his name, Joe Wilson, Janet McLean, and we also got our city clerk, Kathy, back there. Go ahead and stand up, guys. Don't be shy.
Welcome to the House. Any other privileges? Okay, members, we are on Amendment number 53, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Amendment number 53, chance for us to get off to a strong start this morning. What this does, and it's a package with the previous amendment. This reduces by 5% the funds for replacement vehicles that you see in that footnote in the ANI budget. So we've got this room here in our vehicle pool. This says on the replacement vehicle funding, let's just reduce that 5%. They'll keep what they already have, and it's about right sizing government. So another common sense amendment. So encourage and I vote on amendment number 53.
Any members? Chairman Nicholas.
So thank you, Mr. Speaker. So folks, you've got to look at this in the big picture. So if you are allowing folks to use their personal vehicle instead of a state vehicle, we pay at the federal rate or roughly around 55 cents a mile. Right now, with our carpool, the cost per mile when we use a state vehicle is about 23 cents a mile. So it's double the cost if you take your own vehicle. So at the expense of what appears to be a cut, we're actually going to increase the cost of government if we allow those folks to take their own car and not a state car.
Anyone else? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And it may be more a question, and maybe one of our members of the good JAC can answer this. So if we're going to prohibit them from purchasing new vehicles, my thought is well, why can't you swap vehicles around? Okay. If you have a newer vehicle in your central pool, why can't you go ahead and swap something like that? I mean, that's just kind of common sense efficiency stuff. We, again, just going back to what I've experienced in my own line of work, that's what we've had to do. Sometimes the last vehicle that the personal vehicle that we got for my place of employment, for our assigned vehicle, wasn't something brand new. It was something that was swapped from the central pool. And so I think that this only makes sense, that if we're – this is a deficiency thing. They don't need to buy a brand new vehicle. We can swap some vehicles around. There's no reason why we can't do that. So I vote aye on this amendment.
Any other members for their first time? For their first time? Or I'll pause for – For your first time, Representative Pownell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I'm on and against this amendment. For one thing, when you swap these vehicles and you've got newer vehicles you may have and you put them in the pool, bear in mind when they're switching some of these vehicles around, there are issues with them. and sometimes you'll increase your maintenance cost. So the bottom line is, to do this amendment, it's going to cost the state more money. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Any members for their second time? Moving on to the sponsor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we get this argument over and over again that it's going to increase costs in other areas, and the control there is that those other areas are fixed in the budget. So they can't increase the costs in those line items. We haven't seen reversions from those areas, so basically it's going to be fixed what their costs are for reimbursements, and that's the natural control here. And what you're going to see is that there's a natural padding in government, and there's going to be no change. And because those other costs are fixed or controlled, that they won't be able to offload this onto other line items, and if they do, they're going to hit that cap. And we haven't seen reversions from those line items. So this argument that it's going to offload, it doesn't work. So I would encourage an aye vote on this, and also want to have a roll call on I have a technical correction. Mr. Speaker, after 669,583, can we have add IS?
That is on line 2 of the amendment.
Yes.
I see that as a technical correction.
Thank you.
I didn't find the fund. Any members object to that? Okay. Okay, so we made that correction. Do we have a second on the ayes and the noes? Representative Salazar is a second. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Amendment 53, Allen. Aye, Barlow. Aye, Biteman. Aye, Blackburn. Blackburn?
Aye.
Aye, Blake.
No.
No, Bovee.
No.
No, Brown.
No.
No, Burkhart.
No,
no, Bird.
No,
no, Clausen.
No,
no, Clem.
Aye,
Connolly.
No,
no, Court.
Aye,
Crank.
No,
no, Dayton. No, Edwards. Aye, Eklund. No, Ayer. No, Flitner. No, Freeman.
No,
Furphy.
No,
Guru.
No,
Gray.
Aye,
Greer. Aye, Haley. No, Hallinan. Aye, Halverson. Aye, Henderson. No, Hunt. Aye, Jennings. Aye, Kinner.
No,
Kirkbride.
No,
Larson Lloyd.
No,
Larson Dan. Aye, Lindholm.
Aye,
Lone.
Aye,
Laux.
Aye,
McGuire.
No,
Madden.
No,
Miller.
Aye,
Nicholas.
No,
Northrup.
No,
Obermuller.
No,
Olson.
Aye,
Paxton.
No,
Pelkey.
No,
Piperinen.
Aye,
Pawnell.
No,
Salazar.
Aye,
Schwartz.
No,
Simpson.
Aye,
Summers.
No,
Steinmetz.
Aye,
Stith.
Aye,
Sweeney.
No,
Walters.
No,
Wilson.
No,
Winters.
Aye,
Zwanitzer.
No,
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 25 aye, 35 no.
Failing to receive the affirmative vote of the elected members, House Amendment Number 53 has failed. We're now on Amendment Number 55. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading Amendment Number 55 to House Bill 1. Would ask for your favorable consideration. Members, we haven't heard too much yet about LISTA grants, and I'm thinking that's because your local library's reception is tomorrow evening, so maybe I'll get some more co-sponsors by third reading on this. But basically what this amendment does is every year Wyoming receives, I call them LISTA grants, some people call them Museum and Library Service, IMLS grants, from the federal government. And you'll see on the handout I passed out on your desk, hopefully it's got my name and number, looks like this on it. This is really what funds most of our libraries in the state, between the state library, our community colleges, especially the WILD system and the library catalog. What happened last year is the federal administration did not include these grants anymore in their budget. Congress at that point did a one-year continuing resolution, so it goes through September 31st this year for one-year funding, but there's no real guarantee that this funding will stay. So what the amendment does is basically say if the federal government discontinues this funding and Congress doesn't either through continuing resolution keep the funding going, Wyoming will cover the bare minimum. So right now you'll see the bare minimum provided to any state is $680,000. We've historically got just under $1 million. I think last year it was about $980,000. But basically the library system in our state believes it can operate at the bare minimum of $680,000, at least for 1 year. And if this funding completely goes away, I'm sure we'll have a longer talk in this body about what we do with libraries in the state. But at this time, that's what the amendment does. The federal funding goes away for October. This will at least supplement the library system in the state for a year until we can find a long-term fix or funding mechanism to keep all the libraries going. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any member would like to speak for the first time? For the second time? Chairman Swanser.
I would just say if the funding is approved at the federal level, all this money goes back the general fund.
Okay, on amendment number 55, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
That amendment has been adopted. This amendment increases general fund expenditures. We require a roll call vote. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Amendment 55, Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. No. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. No. Byrd. Aye. Clausen. No. Clem. No. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. No. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No, Eklund. No, Ayer. No, Flitner. Aye, Freeman. Aye, Furphy. Aye, Grew. Aye, Gray. No, Greer. No, Haley. Aye, Hallinan. No, Halverson. No, Henderson. Aye, Hunt. Aye, Jennings. No, Kinner. Aye, Kirkbride. Aye, Larson Lloyd. No, Larson Dan. No, Lindholm. No, Lone. No, Laux. No, McGuire. No, Madden. Aye, Miller. No, Nicholas. Aye, Northrup. Aye, Obermuller. Aye, Olson. No, Paxton. Aye, Pelkey. Aye, Piperinen. No, Ponell. No, Salazar. No, Schwartz. Aye, Simpson. No, Summers. Aye, Steinmetz. No, Stith. No, Sweeney. Aye, Walters. No, Wilson. No, Winters. No, Zwanitzer. Aye, Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote, are there any changes? Allen, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 28 aye, 32 no.
House Bill 55, failing to receive the affirmative vote of the House, has failed. Our next amendment is, I should say, amendment number 55. And our next amendment is amendment number 2, Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is just an amendment regarding state vehicles at the Wyoming Military Department Division, that they're required to have state employees operate them rather than non-state employees. It's designed to save some wear and tear on our vehicles. And hopefully this will be a short, quick amendment that will save the state some money. Thank you.
Any member would like to speak on this? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge no vote. I'm on and against this amendment. And the reason being is our military facility is leased out occasionally to militaries from other states, and those facilities and those vehicles that are part of those facilities and those training grounds are used by those other states. Our department is paid for those, and so, yes, there might be some wear and tear on those vehicles, but the department is compensated for that in the route of the training that takes place there. And so by passing this amendment, we simply reduce the ability for our military department to share its resources, to share its abilities to train our military for the good of the country. And so while it may sound simple and easy, it really has a lot larger implication than what's really being explained here. And so I would urge a no vote on this.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of this amendment based on the premise that while we do lease out that property, it's pretty simple just to keep the keys locked up. If we've got other militaries coming in, other states' guard coming in and using our facility, that's fine. But they've got their own equipment, too. So this is just a simple, easy deal. While they may pay us or reimburse us for that, at the end of the day, is it worthwhile versus all the repairs that have to take place, the quicker wear out and those types of things? Easy amendment. Vote aye.
Chairman Eklund.
So my concern with this amendment would be that it would muddy up the way we do things anyway. We've got federal employees that are considered state employees, too, here working in the state of Wyoming. And I'm not sure myself who it's directed at or how they would decide who can use it and when they can use it. I guess I'd want some clarification on that before I'd vote aye on this thing.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a curious amendment to me. We don't know exactly what the purpose is, how it will affect different folks. But on the other hand, if these are state vehicles, why wouldn't state vehicles, non-military folks, be able to use them? And to me, there's another story under this that it's probably a political one that we're not familiar with. But I'd sure like to know the genesis of it, what possible savings there would be, and how many miles we're talking about. It's something that, frankly, you can't discern what the purpose of this by just looking at the amendment itself.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask you to resist this amendment. I've been asked by the agency that helps our fisheries to come and do gill netting, and for the last 3 years I've been asked to go up and get the truck and the trailer and back it down so they can put on the boats. And if you're looking at this, that would be prohibited. Probably already is, but it's like, Let's trust our employees to do the right thing, and the other speakers have already talked about that there is commingling or use of vehicles, that it's compensated for it. I think we're too far into the weeds, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So two quick things. Number one, I believe state personnel rules and policy usage already covers this, so I'm not 100% on that, but I know that I am not allowed to have anybody in the vehicle that's not a state employee if I'm driving with the state plate on there. But the other thing is I question what the implications of this being with. It says purchased or maintained with state funds. Since a lot of this department is funded underneath federal funds, how many vehicles does this actually affect? I guess if I get an answer for that, maybe we're not actually even seeing any decrease here.
Any other members like to speak for the first time? Seeing none on first time. We're moving to second time. Any members second time before the sponsor? Seeing none. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, so much for a simple amendment. So this is designed, it would not affect state employees that are state federal employees because they're covered under state employees. But and trust our employees, we do. It's the other folks that are using these vehicles. And this came to me from constituents who work at a place near my district, a big camp that we all are aware of that I won't name the name because I'm not supposed to, abusing our state vehicles. So this is a problem. It's come from people on the ground. It's one I'm trying to fix. and bring a remedy to. If you don't like this amendment, maybe we can do another one tomorrow, but I'd urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Okay, we are voting on second reading amendment number 2. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, please say no.
No.
That amendment has failed. Okay, we are now on second reading amendment number 3. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 3 to House Bill number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. So, body, remember that last year we passed a bill allowing hemp farming, and then in that bill it contains a provision that we have to test to make sure that there's not 0.3% THC within it. And so that's what we're trying to do, is expedite this process to get a machine so that we can test, so that we can get going, because if we don't get going this year, we'll lose the growing season, and it'll be another year before we get this going. So it's great for the farm economy. The farm economy is down right now. Wheat's down, corn's down, everything's down. It'd be nice to have a good crop to be able to raise that would have some money to it. I'll stand for questions.
Any other members? Representative Larson, Dan.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just for a little explanation of what's going on, I'll kind of read through this. The 2017 Wyoming legislature passed Enrolled Act 116, Hemp Farming. Hemp farming is entirely a new program for the state of Wyoming and the Department of Agriculture. Hemp farming also is unique in its challenges, as hemp seed, and most byproducts made therefrom are federally regulated under the Controlled Substance Act. 2014 Farm Bill provided for state departments of agriculture or universities to obtain permits through the Department of Justice, Drug Enforcement Agency, to establish pilot and research programs for hemp, as long as the law allows such pilot and research programs. To meet these requirements, that enrolled act, this budget request is to fund the necessary office and field equipment to establish and support a pilot hemp farming program. The startup funding is to develop the hemp farming program in compliance with this section, and the division will implement the regulatory requirements of enacting statutes by coordinating activities with the federal and state local drug and law enforcement jurisdictions. They will draft and implement rules in accordance with the Administrative Procedures Act. They will oversee the inspection, sampling, laboratory analysis activities, and cooperate with research activities with the university facilities and personnel, including a hemp seed certification program. The main cost in this request is for the testing equipment, which is will cost $197,000. The Wyoming Department of Agriculture, the Analytical Service Laboratory needs additional equipment to determine the THC concentration of not more than 0.3% on a dry weight basis for industrial hemp grown in licensed Wyoming fields. This also in the funding, it will help set up the Analytical Services Laboratory so they can perform the test in a secure place. This funding is needed to allow the future growing of hemp. This is a new crop our farmers could use to increase their bottom line and help in their rotation. I encourage an aye vote.
Representative Howerson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know whether I support this or not, but I could be persuaded to support this if, in measuring THC content, this could be shared with the department that investigates crimes. I'm specifically thinking about the measures we've had before us that have not passed, because we don't want to arrest people for controlled substances that we cannot measure. And if this instrument that's proposed to be purchased by this amendment can serve two purposes, then I just might spend a little money.
Okay, Representative Lopes.
Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment. This is huge, and it's really important, you guys. You know that we worked on that bill last year, and the reason it came about is because we have farmers in our state that cannot get a decent profit off of the products that they are able to raise right now, like wheat and barley and things. This is an opportunity to give our farmers a chance to make good profit on a product. And the timing is really important on this. It's important on this because if we can't get seed or clone in the ground this year, most likely next year, it won't be the same scenario. There are people right now that are willing to contract with all of the hemp that can be grown in Wyoming. And if we don't jump on that, then it might be gone in the future. The other thing that we need to recognize in this is an investment that the program itself will be stand on its own. The fees, the testing fees, the licensing fees will more than pay for the operation of this. Okay, we need this seed money in there so they can buy the right equipment. And yes, I believe that the new machines are technical enough that they can test for THC and other items. Thank you, and please support this.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, while it looks fine on the surface, I do have some issues with the list of things that they're going to do and the exact dollar amount. We know exactly how much it's going to cost for enforcement on something that I don't even know what the intended crop is. We have people out there who want this, but I'm not sure there's enough of a market. There's any number of other places that produce it. And I would argue that if industry really wants this, industry can support it. I've not had one person from the hemp industry, and I know there are a few people who are in that industry who have come and said, please give us money for testing equipment. Please provide the Department of Agriculture with testing equipment. So on and against the amendment, it's just kind of confusing. Wasn't real strong support from the department for this during our hearing, so I would urge your no vote.
Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, this is a great idea. I'm not really in favor of the amendment simply because I feel like we can probably find some funds through Endow to push this kind of initiative, but I do think it's vital that we continue to find some new markets and expand our growth in the ag sector. So thank you.
Chairman Eklund.
Yeah, I think I could clear a little confusion on if industry wants this, why don't they pay for it? They've already tried. There's too much red tape to cut through. They had the money for this testing machine, and the time went by. They couldn't get it. The whatever it was they needed to complete it, but this would speed up the wheels of government that run far too slow in a competitive industry like agriculture.
Okay, Representative Larson. Boyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, I recall these discussions last year, and I've been in support of being able to introduce this type of crop. I'm against this amendment because we put into statutes last year the requirement for the Department of Agriculture to assess a fee that's commensurate with the cost of the department's activities in doing the testing and supervising. And I think that's where the responsibility lies and is between the Department of Agriculture and the industry, and to make that work, I think that's the appropriate place. And so I'd encourage you to vote no. And then I would just, Mr. Chairman, I would remind you of one of the greatest quotes we had last year on this subject, and that's concerning the THC level, when the good Vice Chair of Transportation said, the only thing you get from smoking that stuff is a burnt tongue.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I wanted to clear something up. You heard a little while ago that the Department of Ag wasn't really for this. Actually, it was in their original budget that they turned into the executive. So, yeah, they wanted the equipment. That was one of their exceptions. It was turned down by the executive, but I did want to make that very clear that the Department of Ag wants this piece of equipment so that they can actually practice what we told them to do in our legislation that we passed through this body. So I think it's our responsibility if we're telling a department to do something and not providing the funds to do so, that's off the end. But anyways, vote aye.
Chairman Hunt. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of this. It may not happen this year or next year, but eventually if we can get this little industry up and off the ground and get it into the market, which, by the way, I would argue there absolutely is a market for this product, and I would say that it's probably growing as awareness of the product out there is growing, not just in this state but on a national level. So on and in support of the amendment, please vote aye.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My only question is, before I could support this, is what is not going to be done out of that line item? It's $11.6 million. This requires we take $482,000 out, about 4 or 5%. And we just heard that it wasn't added to the budget. It wasn't a net addition to the budget because that got cut. So I'd like to know from either the sponsors of this amendment or the Appropriations Committee, what's likely to be short of money because of diverting this much money to this project.
Representative Pownell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a question. I remember the conversation last year, and from what I understood, that some of this equipment that was needed to test is already being done to the state south of us, and they were going to utilize companies down there to come up to assist the Ag Department. So I'm curious what happened to that idea. Thank you.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, what's not to like about a burnt ton? I listened to the first speaker, and what I heard was this is going to help the state. I think we're talking about process is what I'm hearing. So I'm not really one way or the other yet, but I'm leaning towards yes because it's going to help the state, and I've read about some of the many things that this product could do to help the people who are affected.
Anyone else would like to speak for the first time? I think there's only about 10 left. That's a little joke, a little humor for us. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do just want to think back a couple of amendments ago when we thought maybe the executive branch wasn't that enthusiastic about cutting. And I will point out that when it came to GAC, this was an exception request, which the governor denied. Kudos to him for cutting. And so here we are, hour later, putting money back in again.
Anyone else for their first time? Any member for their first time? Okay, we're going to move to second time. Any members for the second time? Representative Lux.
Mr. Speaker, trying to clarify a few things. yes, there is a market for this, and there is a market. A lot, the best thing for Wyoming is because we're so close to Colorado. Okay, so there's facilities down there that process hemp into all kinds of things, and the bottom line is that's why we're so lucky, because they will buy everything we can produce. And the other side of this has sort of been missed, I guess. The University of Wyoming, is the Ag Department there, is very, very excited about this. Part of this was brought up because the students at the university that want to be able to test hemp as a forage to feed livestock. And we need the piece of equipment. It was mentioned that we could utilize or hire an outsourced person in Colorado to come up here. It would be cost prohibitive, but they really need the machine so they can work with the university on this and try to see if it can be used in the research available to everybody as far as if it can be used as a forage product. Thank you.
Any other members? Second time, Representative Larson Dan.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just to clarify some of the dilemma we're in, what's happening is this is all going through the Department of Ag because it's required to go that way. They have the permit to do the research. So what they're proposing is they'll send this out to the experiment stations, and they'll have a doctoral student do the research on it. But they need the equipment to test it. So they can decide which seeds that they're bringing in will meet the standards of 0.3 or less. And the idea is once this, so there's no money there to fund the equipment if you can't grow enough. So the idea is if they can find some seeds they can grow that'll meet the standards, then the next year, which would be not this summer but the next summer, they'd send it to some of the farmers that would like to try it. And the idea is to maybe raise 5 acres or something, and that research student would follow that, and they'll gather up what they, the material so they can go test it. And at that time, maybe those farmers could sell some of the product, and hopefully they'd be wanting to maybe get some money back into the program. But that's where we're at. If we don't do this, it's out for 2 years for sure, and farmers need another crop.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 64th, you've heard all the reasons to do this. Please vote aye.
Anyone else for the second time? Sponsor? He was the sponsor. Okay, question being called. All those in favor of Amendment number 3, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Amendment number 3 has been adopted. Okay, the next amendment for our consideration is Amendment... let me look. According to House rule, this on line 2 increase the amount of by $482,000 require a roll vote. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Amendment number 3, Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart. No. Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen. No. Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
No.
Giroux.
Giroux.
Aye. Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire. McGuire. Excused, Madden. No, Miller. No, Nicholas.
No,
Northrup.
Aye,
Obermuller.
No,
Olson.
Aye,
Paxton.
Aye,
Pelkey.
Aye,
Piperinen. No, Ponell. No, Salazar. Aye, Schwartz. No, Simpson. Aye, Summers. No, Steinmetz. Aye, Stiff. No, Sweeney. Aye, Walters. No, Wilson. No, Winters. Aye, Zawanitzer. Aye, Mr. Speaker. Aye, closing vote. Are there any changes? Salazar? Aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed, 40 aye, 19 no, 1 excused.
Amendment number 3 has been adopted. The next amendment for our consideration is Amendment number 4, Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring you second reading Amendment number 4 to House Bill 1 and would ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, all this is pertaining to the state fair, and in the footnote on line 26 and 27, page 15, there is one amendment out of, I believe, the 78 that are total that has been requested to be time-limited until next year, and this amendment merely removed that footnote and that time constraint. So give them a little bit more leeway. Please vote aye.
Any members would like to, Mr. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. So, in JC, excuse me, in JC discussions this year, we'd cut the state fair quite a bit last year. And so there came a proposal to bring money back into the state fair. And so as we looked at that, we thought, okay, we'll bring some back. But we questioned, I guess we did question the number of employees that was in the agency and whether that was entirely needed. So we brought money back. Initially, we cut one employee, period. And then in discussions with the Department of Ag, we said, okay, we'll allow that position we'll recommend that position be for 1 year only and then eventually phase out one position. And so it was just an attempt to try to pare back the expense of that fair while still bringing in money for the fair, which we did, on and against the amendment.
Any other members? Representative Clausen.
On and for the amendment. This just removes the sunset date off of half an employee, and we have another bill coming in, and it's made it through the other chamber that restructures kind of the business model of this agency, and I think we're going to see some really great things, and this half an employee would sure help things out improving the business model. Thank you.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, ladies and gentlemen, we just want to, if this position with the restructuring, if it works and they can demonstrate a viable need for it and make the fair more profitable or at least cover some of its own expenses, that would be wonderful. What this is it's saying, look, with this restructuring of the state fair, demonstrate us the need and capability and that you're going to resurrect this thing so it works, and then we'll come back next year and we'll fund this position. So this is a mechanism to have folks pay attention and to move this fair in the right direction. You know, we're also creating a sinking fund for the fair. We're doing a bunch of other things to as best we can, turn the state fair around and turn it into a wonderful state organization. But we'd have to have a hammer along with a glove when we do this.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, this is working in conjunction with the representatives that are also on this, and also on the organization involved here. You know, they want to get this done and get after it. Not so much the micromanagement aspect. So that's what we're asking for. What this amendment does is allows them to handle their business in a more efficient manner.
Anyone else? Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First for a second, please.
Okay. Anyone else for their first time? Seeing Representative Henderson.
First for a second, please.
Anyone else? First time. Okay. Moving on to second time. Any members for their second time? Representative Clausen.
I'd like to agree with JAC and say this will seriously save them time of coming back and looking at this project because I think we're going to really see some advances with our new model. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, once again, thank you. This simply does allow us to take a look at the structure of the fair. Do they need all of these employees? Are we going to find a way to make the fair more self-sufficient over time? You know, I'm the one that brought the amendment to bring more money into the fair, but I think this is fair. I think this is a fair way to take a look at the structure of it and take another look next year and see whether this position is needed.
Okay. Any other members? Any other members for the sponsor? Seeing Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One more time, on and for the amendment. Let's take this restriction out and let it be as is. I realize the good intentions that are being brought here, but if we allow the bill that's currently over in the other body to come through and be run through the process, and then if we remove this, we'll have that newly restructured reform board be able to start off with a clean slate and that'll get them off on the right track without having to keep this in mind as a certain position that they would have to go back and look at. So on and for the amendment.
Representative Larson, we've closed with the sponsor. Okay, members, we're now voting on amendment number 4. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Amendment has failed. Next amendment for our consideration is amendment number 5. Representative Pownell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 1, amendment or second reading amendment number 5, and would ask for your support. You know, yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about the executive branch not cutting positions and things of that nature. And what this amendment does, it goes in and there's two positions that are requested that are not currently filled. They requested and of course the JAC had agreed with them, and they decided to add two positions to this at a pretty good cost, over I believe it was almost $240,000. So I'm not asking for any money. What I'm saying on this is that we save some money, and in this particular department, there's already 112 employees. So I don't believe that they need to add two more. So I would urge your support and vote aye on this amendment.
Any members? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, 2 points. The Department of Revenue has decreased their FTEs over the last 12 years or so by, I believe, 27. They have scaled it way back. We paid for an efficiency study that I believe recommended that they would add 7 or 11, the number 7 or 11 is a big, great combination for me, so it's one or the other, because this is a department, when they add employees, there's actually the potential to increase revenue to the state. So what we're actually doing by spending a little money is making even more money. I think this is not a great way to go forward in trying to cut the budget. On and against the amendment.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask you to resist this amendment also, and it's for the simple reason that you don't want to choke off your source of gathering revenue when you have budget problems. And that efficiency study that was done a while back said that the two places where you made big mistakes over the past few years of cutting people is in the Department of Audit that collects money, and the Department of Revenue, who follows up on, 27,000 sales tax accounts plus many other ones. This is, to me, it's analogous for a rancher that's having budget problems to quit buying hay because it costs too much money and watch his cows dry up and die. So, you know, you don't bite off the hand that feeds you.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The good chairman just stole my quote. I was just going to simply say, don't bite the hand that feeds. We're in a situation here where we're looking for revenues. We paid for an efficiency study that recommended a heck of a lot more than this be added. Let's take a look at this. Let's add these positions, see if they can grow us the revenue that we're looking for without actually having to raise taxes or do anything else. On and against this amendment.
Representative Obermiller.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm also rising against this amendment. The people in this agency are on the front lines of the actual work in finding money that's owed to the state, so I would urge a no vote. Thank you.
Any other members? Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, this just doesn't make sense, again, as it's been stated. When we're looking for revenues, this is not the way to do that, and I would urge no vote.
Any other members for their first time? Still on first time. Moving to second time. Any members for the second time before the sponsor? Seeing none, Representative Pownell.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, yesterday, like I said, we spent a lot of time on talking about not filling these vacancies, keeping government smaller. You know, and I disagree on the fact that don't bite the hand that feeds you. When you tie hiring employees to the fact that we're going to come back and look and see if you actually made us more money, sometimes it brings in some bad decisions. And you know who that's going to cost? It's going to cost the taxpayer of our state. It's going to cost the different businesses throughout our state that have to pay and hire folks to go to a fight, an appeal on some of these bad decisions. So as I said, they have 112 employees currently, and I believe that's enough to fulfill their obligations to this state. All we're doing is asking to remove two vacancies and not fill those vacancies. Thank you.
Members, we are voting on Amendment Number 5. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
That amendment has failed. Okay, next amendment for our consideration is Amendment Number 6. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading Amendment Number 6 to House Bill 1, and I'll explain it as genesis to you. Ladies and gentlemen, this simply asks the Revenue Department to submit a report to the Joint Revenue Committee twice a year, and it involves looking at the volumetric venting and flaring information that's maintained by the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, and interface that with our law statutes on the severance tax and the ad valorem tax to see what our opportunity loss is by not taxing flared gas. And the only reason we really need it, or one of the biggest reasons we need it, is that it seems like every year we get people coming into our interim study topic session to decide what we're going to study, and somebody wants us to study flaring and what the cost of it is, and you know how do we can minimize it, and you know other states have done it and so on, and we don't have any answers whether it's costing us $10,000 or whether it's costing $10 million. We just don't have any idea. So it always falls to the bottom of the topic list priority because we don't know what we're studying, and by the time these issues come up, we don't have the data because it takes a little bit. All we're doing is just saying every 6 months, please give us somewhat of a rough idea of what the opportunity losses are so we can see whether it's a valid thing to study.
Going to start with Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, I don't think it's one of those simple types of aspects. I understand the ideology that we should look at this, and that way we know how much we're flaring, how much we're venting. Certain groups would really like to know that information, wouldn't they? So I think that's an unintended consequence. I think the chairman of revenue maybe has a good idea, but I think perhaps his committee should study that versus with voluntary data put out to them. Whereas this and this data put out, are they going to come back with a supplemental next year and also state, well, we did this study and it's actually going to take two more employees. We just talked about that in this last amendment. Maybe we got some place for them to go to work. But, Mr. Speaker, ultimately, at the end of the day, I think this is putting ammunition in guns we don't want.
Okay, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill, this message, this amendment sends the wrong message to our number one industry in the state. If that's really what you want to do, vote for this amendment. You want to know how much gas is flared? It's less than 1%. It's like a quarter of 1%. Why would a capitalistic company flare gas that this bill or this amendment represents has value? The reason is it has no value. You flare gas to figure out what the productivity of your well is and if you're going to put it online or not. These companies are not going to waste money. And again, if you want to calculate that number, we don't need this department to do it every 6 months. Take one quarter of 1% of what we produce right now and calculate it out at $3 an MCF. There's your number. I don't know why. You know, this isn't rocket science. Just don't vote for this.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker. So you see my name on here, and I support the idea. This sort of reminds me of the day I got married, and the next day I read the marriage certificate. So when I looked at this initially... I'm glad I got married. It's 51 years. I'm glad. But out of respect to my friend, the good chairman over here, hey, this is a good idea, but it's indicative of maybe a way when we get the sufficiency thing going, we can do a better job of sharing information among departments without creating this seemingly unceasing number of studies. So at this point, I'm going to have to flip, and I regret that, but... I really do support the idea.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and against this. Looks like a tax increase. If the wells that were up around the area where I live, if they were profitable, they would be putting that into a pipeline, making money off of it. It cost more to do the pipeline than it would to recover the loss of revenue that they would get for paying the tax and building a pipeline to get it there. On and against.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against, I appreciate the well-intentioned efforts of the chairman. But in my hometown, we have two manufacturing operations going full tilt. They are producing electric generation units for the fields where you can't get electrical lines and power enough fueled by wellhead gas to avoid the flaring and utilize the product. So I just think the industry is trying their best not to waste that gas and just flare it. So I urge a no vote on this. I think it does send a wrong message.
Chairman Barlow, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, ladies and gentlemen, certainly I can see where the direction this is going. But I would respectfully argue that it's going there for the wrong reason. We have a constitution, and in that constitution, it talks about a severance tax on minerals. And as an obligation, I believe, to the citizens of the state, we should know what amount of severance tax is not being collected because of statutory exemptions and rules that are being promulgated in our agencies. So I get where this is going, but it's going for the wrong reason. The right reason is we have an obligation to our state and to the taxpayers of this state and to the citizens further of this state to actually understand if we're not going to collect revenue on their behalf. So, Mr. Speaker, with that, thank you.
Hey, any other members for your first time? Seeing none, we're on second time before the sponsor. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, it's not as simple as just to multiply $3 per MCF times 1% of what we produce, because we don't know for sure what that percentage is. We don't keep track of it. And the most important thing to remember is that we don't tax either the severance tax or ad valorem based on the gross value. It's a net value that's incurred prior to it being pulled out of the ground. And, you know, I think you're right. Maybe these numbers we hear when they come in or people come in and want us to put this on the agenda, maybe they are inflating their numbers and they're basing it on a state north of us and east a little bit. And we just want to know whether or not we've got anything there that is worth looking at. And I agree we may not have, but it's not sufficient to just as a member of the committee to say, well, we don't think it's important. That's not really the way we run things in the revenue committee.
Okay, we're voting on amendment number 6. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
That amendment has failed. We're at that point of the day for committee announcements. Chairman Eklund.
May I have a privilege first?
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the gallery is the mayor of Albin, which is my home community, Kelly Krakow.
Welcome to the House. Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the Minerals Committee, Committee Number 9, we're going to meet 1 hour after adjournment, so we can go to caucus. Then we'll meet in Jonah Room H37. We've got one more bill in order, in all fairness, that sponsor, to get that up in the queue. We'll just hear that. Hopefully we're only about 15, 20 minutes. So that's going to be House Bill 181. We'll be heard 1 hour upon adjournment. In H37.
That's 1 hour.
I'm sorry. A noon recess. Thank you. Noon recess.
For the clarification.
Thank you. I'm not having a good day, Mr. Speaker.
No, you are. We're all having a good day.
All right.
Okay. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet upon adjournment, which, as we've estimated, will be somewhere around 10 o'clock tonight. So, and when that happens, we're going to hear House Bill 30, House Bill 31, House Bill 140 and House Bill 175.
Thank you. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10 will meet upon adjournment today, H37, to hear one bill, House Bill 157, Health Care Providers Sexual Assault Protections 2. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30 in room H36. To discuss House Bill 90 and 92.
Minority Caucus Leader Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's the first time you got it right in 2 years.
Thank you. I'm a little slow learner. Bear with me.
Your Minority Caucus is going to meet at lunch in H38. All are welcome.
Thank you. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your House Appropriations Committee will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning to hear House Bill 170, House Bill 95, and House Bill 185. And any re-referrals that we got, we'll cram as many in as we can.
Okay, seeing the end of committee announcements. Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The majority party will caucus in L51 upon noon recess, and lunch is there.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The House is in recess until 2 p.m.